Okay, here we go. Shmuel Beis, the review and overview of the first half of the Sefer, 24 Prakim in the Sefer, and we will now review the first 12 from the beginning through the story of David and Bathsheba and Nasan through Perek Yud Beis. So here we go. If we remember at the beginning of the Sefer, Vahir Achrei Mos Shaul, Shaul has died, and David has returned from hitting Amalek, which he was doing at the time that Shaul was in battle. Vayisha David Bitziklag Yamim Rabim. David was there, and on the third day, Vahibe Yom HaShlishi, a man comes back from the battlefield where Shaul had been. Shaul was fighting, and his begadav were ripped, Vadam al Rosho, and he comes and bows down to David, and David asks him where you're from. He says, I came from the battlefield, and he tells him the terrible news of the Jews losing the battle, Shaul and Yehonasan both dying. David says, how do you know that? Eich yadat kimei Shaul v'Yehonasan b'do? How do you know? And the Nar, who thinks that he's going to find favor in the eyes of David, says, well, Shaul was on his, right next to his sword, and the Rech of the Parashim, everybody was coming quickly, and he turned to me and he says, please help me, help me. Please, who are you? He says, I'm an Amaleki. He says, please help kill me because Achazani HaShavatz. Shavatz, Rashi says it from the word Tashbates, one of the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, that he's getting killed because of what he did to Novi Rakonim. Please kill me. But Emodalav, the Nar Amaleki says, I went and I killed him because that's what he asked me to do. Ki Adat Ki Lo Yichya, I saw he wasn't going to live. So I followed through on his request. As we know, David HaMelech was not happy. He didn't want anything to befall Shaul. And even though this boy thought that he would find favor, David HaMelech was very upset. He tore his begadim. He had everybody else around him tear his begadim. He did tshuva gemur. He made sure everybody realized that he had nothing to do with this. This was not his reaction. And he mourned and he cried vayatsumana erev on Shaul and Yehonasan. That is the first reaction for everyone. Al beisisol kinaflu bacharev, because they all had died. Then he turns to the Nar Amaleki and says, again, who are you from? He wanted to make sure. He says, I'm a ger Amaleki. David says, Eich lo yareisa, l'shloch David, l'shachay says Mashiach Hashem. How is it that you were not nervous to kill, to destroy the Mashiach Hashem? It is ironic, we pointed out, that Shaul HaMelech had Rachmanis and therefore did not kill Amalek. This boy had Rachmanis and killed Shaul. That's what he says. He had Rachmanis on him. But David says he was Chayim Misa, Vayakeo Vayamos. David says, Damcha Aroshecha, Kipicha Anabachalemar, Anochi Mosatis Mashiach Hashem. Right? You said it, and you're a Chayim Misa. The Rambam quotes this as an example of a Horah Shah, even though usually a person is not Naaman on himself. Ein Adam Esam Asmo Rasha, but this was a Horah Shah. He realized that this is what he had to do using his special Din Malchus. Right? Where the Rambam talks about that this Din of a Shofet, a Din of Malchus, and this is the special Din. There are other pshatim why he was chayiv misa. Right, David Shaul asked him to kill him. So what was the problem? So the Rabag says, well, he was asked to do murder. Divrei Arava, Divrei Atama, Divrei Shoman. Even if the king asked you to do an aveira, you're not allowed to listen. Or the Torah Tzmima suggests that maybe he was killing him because he was from Amalek. And he was just saying that there were other reasons. He didn't want it to look bad. So other people would think that he killed him for other reasons. But that is the another pshat that is given. Either way, it seems to be that it was the din of Malchus that he killed him. He did not think that anybody could get away with killing a Mashiach Hashem. Vayikonen David, and then David says a kina. He says two kinos here at the beginning of the Sefer Shmuel Beis. The first one is Al Shaul Val Yonasan Beno. Shaul and Yonasan. Valami Bnei Yehuda Kashas. He writes at the beginning of this kina, he says, but don't worry, everything's going to be okay. We're going to know how to use the sword. He gives chizik to his own people. But then he says three times, Eich naflu giborim. How is it that Yehonasan, my friend, and Shaul, he puts his best friend and the king that wanted to kill him together, right? Reactionary. David HaMelech realizes that it's all Me'eis Hashem. He curses the Hare Gilboa. Hare Gilboa al tal val matar aleichem. And that's why Ad HaYom HaZeh, the Hare Gilboa, doesn't have any grass on it. It is not fertile at all. And he writes, Midam Chalom Echelev Giborim, what a terrible thing that happened. Keshes Yonasan Lo Nasag Orchar, the Cherev Shaul, he says, they were Nehavim Vanimim B'chayim V'mosim Lo Nefradu. They didn't separate even by death. They were killed together. The Radak quotes the Targum that says, they didn't separate from the Am until the last day. Even though Shaul knew this was to his death, but he went out to fight with the Am, even though he wasn't going to make it back. And David ends off, Tsar Li Alecha, Achi Yehonasan, Na'am Tali Ma'od, you were very special, had a special place in my heart. I loved you more than Ahavat Nashim, What does that mean? Right, he didn't get any physical pleasure out of it, but he just loved him purely. Eich naflu giborim. This was David, the reaction that he has. But even though he is sad, he obviously is the first step in paving the way for David to take over as the melech. Right, we mentioned there are really three events. Shaul dies, Avner, who is the general, is eventually going to die, and Ishbosheth. All of them, the last vestiges of Malchus Shaul being removed, so David HaMelech will then come onto the scene. Vayecherecheit, so Perek Beis, what happens? David asks Hashem, should I move? He was in the land of the Plishtim, says, he says, yes, go to Chevron. Chevron was the place where David HaMelech's kingdom started. He was there for 7 years, and then in Yerushalayim for 33 years, 40 years altogether. He lived till 70, which means he became king at age 30. He went to Chevron to connect to the Avos. He took with him his two wives at the time, Achinoam Yisraelis and Abigail, who happened was the wife of Nabal HaKarmeli. Interesting that she's still called that wife here. Really, she is now the wife of David. They go, and they're Moshechim. David HaMelech gets anointed, even though he had been anointed by Shmuel. But there's another anointing. The Achronim discussed, maybe the first one didn't have a full Chalo Shem. Now he's going to actually be the king. He's going to have Hisnagus of a Melech. And we're going to see he's going to be anointed a third time when all of Klal Yisrael follow. Every time there's a new din of a Melech, it seems like there is a Meshicha that is done. David then hears that the people of Yavish Gilad took care of burying Shaul, and he sends them a bracha. Ruchim atem Lashem, al asher asisem, achesed azem, adorechem im Shaul, vatikvu oso, thank you, great job. Then what happens? David HaMelech goes to Chevron, but it's not time yet for the rest of Klal Yisrael to follow him. Avner ben Ner, the Sar Tzava, the general of Shaul, takes Shaul's son, Ishbosheth, and his mom Lachim. Why does he do that? So Avner, the Rashi quotes, he darshed the Pasuk in Parshas Vayechi. The Pasuk says, Umalachim echalatzecha yetzeyu. So there was only one Melech that came from Binyamin. There should be two. So he thought that Ishbosheth was supposed to be the king now. That's how he darshed the Pesukim, even though he knew that was David was Nimshach. But really, it was not supposed to be. He takes him to Machanayim, and he gathers various tribes that he knew would follow Shaul, Binyamin, and he gets them from Aver HaYarden and Ephraim. And at that time, he sets up an alternate Malchus. Ben Arbaim Shana Ishbosheth was 40 years old, and he was king for 2 years. There is a Machlokes in the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. These 2 years, where did they line up with David's 7 years in Chevron? Was it parallel to the first 2 years, or was it parallel to the last 2 years? Either way, Machlokas Rashi Tosis is Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. Famous Parah Yamim, but David was in Chevron altogether for 7.5 years. What happens? Avner. Then we have a tragic story. There's a lot of tragic stories here in Sefer Shmuel Beis, but exciting stories nonetheless. Avner, the general of Ishbosheth, and Yoav, the general of David, go out, and there is the Mischak HaNa'arim. Something that seemed like to start like a game, just to see who's a better swordsman, but it ended up that the 12 people from Binyamin and from David, they killed each other, and that started a civil war. And they each killed many people on either side. And Asael, Avishai, and Yoav were all brothers, sons of Tzeruiah. Tzeruiah was David's sister. She is mentioned the most out of any female in all of Tanakh. Besides Esther, Tzeruiah is number two. Shlosha, Bidei Tzeruiah, Yoav, Avishai, and Asael. Asael, who was very fast, runs after Avner to try to catch up to him. He corners him. Avner says, back away, I don't want to hurt you. And Avner said, Asael says, I'm not letting go. And Avner seems to be in self-defense, goes and he kills Asael. Kills Asael, he tried to get him to move away, but he kills him. Later, the brothers, Yoav and Avishai, hear about it. They are very upset, but Avner calls out, let's stop this already. What do we have to keep killing each other for? And Yoav says, well, if you wouldn't have started the game in the first place, we would never have gotten to this state. And the parak ends off that the war is called off, and Asael is carried and buried in Beit Lechem, and everyone goes home. Though the vengeful feelings are still festering in Yoav. Perek Gimel, what happens? David has children in Chevron, and he has wives in Chevron. People who are going to come up later in the Sefer are mentioned. David's son, Amnon, and Kilov, one of the four people who never sinned, and Avshalom, and Adoniah, those four major characters that are going to come up later on, and Shvatia, and Yitraam, one of the names of the wives here are some that we know, some that we don't know. Achinoam, Abigail, and Macha, Chagit, and Avital, and Egla. Egla is the mysterious one. Rashi quotes that Michal is Egla. Radak has a couple of days about it. who this was. The problem is, because we're going to see later on that Michal didn't have any children. So did that mean didn't have any children until that story took place later on? Or didn't have any children at all? So if she didn't have any children at all, then this pasuk, Egla, can't be Michal. Either way, what happens, the war continues, the fighting continues between Beit Shaul and Beit David. There's still, there's not friendly blood between them. Meanwhile, Avner, who is supporting, if you remember, Ish-bosheth, is accused by Ish-bosheth to having taken one of the concubines, one of the pilakshim of Shaul. And Avner turns to Ish-bosheth and says, Harosh kelav anochi, am I a dog? You're accusing me? A couple of times in this sefer, we have the lashon of a dog used. Right? Goliath says, you send me a dog? Calling David a dog? What we have right here, Avner saying, am I a dog? David, when Shaul was trying to kill him, says, you're trying to chase after a dog. What are you trying to do? But here he says, how could you accuse me of that? It does not say, it's not 100% clear whether it was true or not. He just screams at him and says, how could you say that? Maybe it was true, maybe it was not true. That is not 100% clear. But either way, Avner leaves Ish-bosheth's side and goes over to David's side. He calls out to David and says, I want to be on your side. David says, well, bring me my wife first. Bring me Michal. Shaul had taken away Michal and given her to Palti ben Laish. Gemara Sanhedrin discusses the major, amazing personality, spiritual personality of Palti ben Laish. He never lived with his wife, Michal, because it wasn't really his wife. She was really married to David. So Paltiel didn't do anything with her. He put a sword in between the bed, and he was able to overcome. But at this time, it's time for Michal to go back to Shaul, to David. So he's on his way back. The Gemara says that Palti was crying. The Gemara says maybe he was crying because of the mitzvah that he couldn't fulfill anymore, and or maybe it was just relief. Either way, so Michal is brought back. That's the first thing that David asks for. Interestingly, maybe it's part of being the son-in-law of the previous king, and she comes back to David in Hebron, and Avner comes over, and David welcomes him warmly. They make a covenant, and then Avner starts working for David and spreading the greatness of David's malchus. Yoav, though, as we know here in Perek Gimel, is still not happy. He does not trust Avner. He tries to convince David. David does not listen, but then Yoav takes the law into his own hands and has a discussion with Avner, according to Chazal, but it's clear, Pasuk of Zayin, he kills him by Yamas, Bidam Asael Achiv. He kills him as revenge. David hears about it, and he is extremely upset. He says, Naki Anochi Mamlachti Meim Hashem Ad Olam. I am clean from Avner's blood. And nobody should say that I did it. And then he curses Yoav and his family. He says, Yoav's house should always have Zav Umitzorah, Maxim Bepelech. Yoav has this unique, interesting relationship with David. He's his guardian, he's his general, he's his very loyal, but he also goes above and beyond. Like in this case, where David HaMelech trusted Avner, and Yoav did it more for personal purposes. Either way, David says to Yoav, Kiru b'gdeichem v'chiru gusakim, tear your clothing. And David even went after the mita, went after the coffin, even though a king does not usually go after the coffin. The Radak points out the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but this is to show. You have to make sure everybody to show that this is not his way. His way is not just to assassinate everybody connected to the previous king. But they buried Avner in Hebron, and they cried for him. And here's number two, the second kina that David has here, that he konein amelech el Avner, after being doing a kina for Yehonathan and Shaul, he gives a kina for Avner. And he says, Hakamos novel yomus Avner, right, you weren't tied up, how is it possible that you were killed? And he makes everybody cry. They try to give him food. He says, no, I'm fasting until the day is finished. That's one of the makaras for fasting on a yard site. The whole Am sees this behavior of David, and they realize that he is a great leader. And he repeats again, remember, Kisar v'gadol nafal ayom hazeh b'Yisrael. David gives tremendous shevach to Avner. I'm a little guy. B'nei Tzruya kashimi meni. The B'nei Tzruya are more difficult than me. Yishalem Hashem lo'osei ara karato. We'll have to see. David does not do anything to Yoav here. He just curses him, but he's going to give commands to Shlomo, as we'll see, in the beginning of Sefer Malachim. Okay, Perek Dalet. Vayishba ben Shaul. What happens? Ish-bosheth hears that his one loyalist, Avner, who had gone over to David's side, is now killed, and he realizes, it's all downhill from here. But then what happens? Another tragic story. Two people who were connected to him, Bana and Rechav, children of Rimon HaBe'erosi, from Binyamin. So that's what you would think. They would be loyal. Binyamin, they came in, and they mistakenly thought that David would want Mipi Boshes, Ish-bosheth killed. and therefore they go and they assassinate him. Along the way, it mentions that that Shaul has a grandson, the son of Yonasan, Mephibosheth. Nothing is said about him except that he is lame. So we'll have to get back to him later on in the Sefer, but Sefer is already foreshadowing that there is one other descendant that is around. But Rachav and Bana go, and they kill Ishbosheth, and they bring his head to David. They didn't learn. Now the question is, or they didn't realize what happened to the Nar Amaleki in Perek Aleph. So maybe they thought that was different. Maybe they thought that he was killed because he was an Amaleki. But here says that they really thought that David would be happy with getting this. But again, the reaction is the same. David sees, how could you kill a Mashiach Hashem? How could you kill somebody so innocent? And he commands his soldiers to get rid of Bana and Rechav. Right, again, we spoke then, they thought they were doing a tremendous mitzvah, but this is the Yetzirah here in an extreme way. Sometimes you're doing a mitzvah, you think you're doing a mitzvah, but you're really doing something terrible. And David kills them, and he buries Ishbosheth along with Avner in Hebron. Next, Perakei, all the Shvatim now come, now there's nobody that is against David. And they come to Hebron, all the Shvatim, and say, Hidinu Atzmacha uvisarcha anachnu, you are our king, please lead us, Atot Yeres Amias Yisrael, you'll be the Nagid. They all come, and again, Vayimshechu, the third Mashiach now. But now that it's all the Shvatim, this is the final one. They anoint David Lamelech al Yisrael, he is anointed, now there is Hashras Hashchinah, now there is all of Klal Yisrael, together with David as their leader in Hebron. And then Pasuk says, he was 30 years old when he became the king, and he was king for 40 years. 7.5 in Hebron, 33 in Yerushalayim, the Mefarshim, the Avar Benel, the Radak talk about, but 33.5 plus, 7.5 plus 33 is 40.5. So did they just round down? Are there other reasons what happened to the other 6 months? That is the general total. So what happens now? David's ready to leave Hebron. He's ready to go to Yerushalayim. That is the place. Asher Malkam Ashiyivchar Hashem. He starts to go up, but the Yevusi say to him, you're not coming here until you remove the Ivrim and the Pischim. And David says, okay, whoever removes the Ivrim and the Pischim will win. And the Pesukim and Divrei Hayamim say that Yoav was the one that removed the Ivrim and the Pischim. Who are the Ivrim and the Pischim? The blind and the lame. So Rashi says it was Avodah Zarah that was set up at the door as a symbol of Yitzchak, who was blind, and Yaakov, who was a little bit lame, connected to the Shvua, the Pirkei Derbalazar, we mentioned, says that there was a Shvua made by Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, especially Avram, to Avimelech, that Avram is not going to start up with his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, but that's it. And at this time, it was still, up until this time, it was, the grandchildren was still there, and therefore David couldn't get in, but now it's time. It's time. They have died out. Now there's no longer a reason to. These statues were a reminder of that they put up to remind us that we can't attack them, but now the time is up. So David says we can go and attack them, and that's exactly what they did. We remove them. Others say just the Pasha Prada Pasuk is, we're not going to leave here, even if the only people left are the blind ones and the lame ones. Either way, they're threatening that they're not leaving, and we know that they eventually left. Vayesha David Rabbitsuda, David comes in, he sits in Ir David, and Haloch v'gadol, Hashem elokeitz v'osimo, Hashem is with him. Then there are opposite reactions by non-Jewish kings. Hiram, the king of Tsar, hears about it and starts sending David wood and other materials, because he realizes that David is the king, and Hashem is with him. And the Plishtim hear about it, and they start fighting. They get ready to fight. David asks, should I go fight them? He goes to fight them, and he wins the war. Right, in Yerushalayim, the Navi here also describes that he had a couple of other wives and children. Shlomo is mentioned here, even though he's only born later. Natan is mentioned here. A couple of other children of David are mentioned here, right before the fight that he has with the Plishtim. The Plishtim start again and again and again. A few times they try to beat David. A few times Hashem says, go fight them. And other times Hashem says, wait. Then just make a noise. It was all to show the savlanus that David HaMelech had. So now, David has gone from Hebron to Yerushalayim. He's there. Two more events. Number one, David has to bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. Then he's going to try to build the Beis HaMikdash. Perek Vav, David is bringing the Aron back to Yerushalayim. There, this is the Haftarah for Parsha Shmini. This parak is known as Peretz Uzzah. What happens? That the Aron has been in Beit Avinadav since it was sent back from the Plishtim and has caused havoc, so it's sitting in Beit Avinadav. and now it's time to bring it up. They put it on a wagon, and Uzzah and Achyo, the children of Avinadab, are bringing the Agala. And something very mysterious happens, not 100% clear what exactly happened, but the wagon seemed to have broken, the animals, or the Aron, started falling off. Uzzah goes and stretches out his hand and catches the Aron, touches the Aron directly, and Hashem smites him, Hashem kills him on the spot. Why? Seems like it's unfair. What did he do? He was just saving it. So the Mefarshim explain what the problem is. One might say, Rashi quotes the Kal Vachomer. You can't touch the Aron. You can't touch. Moshe Rabbeinu threw the Luchos on the floor. Right? You can't touch the Aron. And the Aron carried, and even more so, the Kal Vachomer specifically, is that the Aron carries the people who carry it. You really think the Aron's going to fall down? You think Hashem is going to make the Aron, going to let the Aron fall down? It's not a Torah today, Rachman al-Islam. But naturally, a Torah could fall down, Rachman al-Islam. But the Aron, everything about it was supernatural. You're not allowed to touch it. Others connect it to David's sin. That David, Uzzah also, but David, why'd you put this Aron on the wagons? There's a pasuk in Chumash, bakas if you sow. The Aron has to be on shoulders. You put it on the wagon, that's the problem. The question is what, David didn't know a pasuk in Chumash? So the Radak explains amazingly. Maybe David thought that the mitzvah of carrying on shoulders is only relative terms when there are other things. On wagons, you put the Aron on the shoulders. But if there's nothing else being carried, you could put the Aron on the wagon. That it was a relative value. And the answer is no, that it's an absolute value. So Hashem gets very angry. This tragedy occurs. David's very nervous. He stops the parade. So he says, let it stay here. So David lets the Aron stay in by the house of Oved Edom, Hagiti, and it stays there for 3 months. After 3 months, David sees that Hashem has blessed Oved Edom's family. They have riches. Their wives are giving birth to 6 babies at once. Right, we discussed then, how is that possible if it was only there for 3 months? Was it backwards and they were giving birth now and Hashem knew? Right, fascinating discussions that we had then. But David hears that. He's like, okay, I guess Hashem is ready. So he goes and tries again. So every 6 steps, they bring karbanis, because after 6 steps the first time, that's when tragedy occurs. So here, every 6 steps, they carry it carefully. David is mecharker b'chalos. He's dancing and schwitzing, and he's wearing special clothing, and there's aronos. And Michal, the daughter of Shaul, David's wife, looks out the window, sees the king making making a fool of himself, and shvativ is lo beliba. She is very upset. After all, but the Rambam quotes David HaMelech's actions here as true simcha shel mitzvah. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Lulav. David, though, gives out food, brings karbanos, everything's in a great mood, and what happens? Tetzi, he goes home, and Michal Bat Shaul says, Manich Barayom, sarcasm in the Navi. How great is it today that all the maidservants saw you sweat and schwitz and you roll up your sleeves? David, without batting an eyelash, says, I'm the king and not your father. What did he mean by that? The Yalkut explained, the Shaul, and Michal following her. Shaul was very proper and was always worried about what the Am was going to say. Many of his sins, as we discussed in Shmuel Aleph. David says, I'm the king because I know I do what's right based on what my decisions are, and I'm not worried about other people. And the parak ends off, Michal did not have any children ad Yom Mosa. Does that mean none? Does that mean from that day on? Either way, that is the end of that relationship between David and Michal. So now, David makes it to Yerushalayim, the Aron is in Yerushalayim, so now David says, okay, it's time for the Beis HaMikdash. David says, I'm in a house, but I want to build the Beis HaMikdash. He says to Nasan, I'm going to build it, okay? Nasan says, go for it. Kol asher bilvavcha lecha say, ki Hashem imach, Hashem is with you, right? Nasan, Nevi'im can make mistakes also. Just like Shmuel made a mistake. He didn't know which son was the right son of Yishai. He made a mistake here. This was not a nevuah. Vayhi balayla hahu. But in the middle of that night, Rashi quotes, it had to be that night because he wanted to tell Nasan that David is a Zariz. He's probably started preparations already. You got to go quickly. Right? So he says to him, go tell David that he's not the man. Can he do it? No. This is Jewish history. I've never asked for a house before, and I'm not ready to ask for a house yet. You don't have to give me a house, because I will make you great, but separately. Eventually you will die. Yimlu yamecha v'shachaftes avosecha. You will die, but your son will build the Beis HaMikdash. Says the pasuk, asher yetzemi me'echa v'achidosi esvamachto. Whoever that you will give birth to. You see, you know that Shlomo HaMelech wasn't born yet. And you will die first. Why couldn't David build it? So the pasuk, it doesn't say here, really. In Divrei HaYamim, in Perek HaBeis, it says because he had the blood on his hands. Meaning, you need somebody who is b'shalom totally. The Yalkut quotes a different idea. He says, no, if David would build it, it would be eternal. So when Hashem would get angry at us, he'd have to punish us and not the Beis HaMikdash. as the Chazal said, that Hashem took his anger out on the Eitzim Avonim of the Beis HaMikdash, and not us. But that's why David couldn't build it. Similar to why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into the Beis HaMikdash, into Eretz Yisrael, according to some Pshatim. The Mal Abarbanel says, no, he was still fighting wars. Look at the next parak. That's why he couldn't build it yet. The tznai of resting from one's enemies wasn't fulfilled yet. Other Pshatim as well, that we gave then. But he will give. So what's David's reaction? David's reaction is amazing, so wonderful, right? He wasn't disappointed, but he's so happy, and he says, why do I deserve this? Hashem, you're the best. Mi anochi, I'm a nothing. Thank you so much for allowing my son to build a Beis HaMikdash. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Hei, Ein Adam Miskani Bibino. Person is never Miskani Bibino. And David here just waxes poetic about how happy it is, how happy he is for his son to build the Beis HaMikdash. Parakhes. What happens the very next parak? Acharechein. The Abarbanel says that David realizes that he's not the one. He's going to fight some more wars. He goes out and fights the Plishtim, and he takes Meseg Ha'ama. What's Meseg Ha'ama? Either just the main city, or the Radak connects this to the Medrash we mentioned earlier, that there was another statue related to a Shvua that another one of the Avos took with the Plishtim, and it's all the Shvuas are batel now. And then David goes and fights Moav. Why Moav? So Rashi quotes that Moav had killed out his family. He had deposited his family there when he went to fight Amalek to take care of them, and they didn't. They killed only one little boy, ran away to Ammon, and that's why David was friendly with Ammon afterwards, but Moav killed. So what did he do? He took them, he measured them, unusual, he took measured them with a rope, two ropes, and he killed out two-thirds of them, right? It happened to be. The Zohar says that whoever was Chayav Misa ultimately was the one that was killed, but that's two-thirds. Why two-thirds? The Ben Yehoyada says that maybe three shutfim in every person, and David, fine, Moab, I'll take the woman, the mother, right? Because the mother, that's Rus, I'm not going to affect you for that, but the other two shutfim I'm going to punish you for. Or other pshatim given, but either way, that is David taking revenge on Plishtim, on Moab. And the pasuk describes how all of the spoils that he got during all the wars, he was makdish to the Beis HaMikdash. So even though he wasn't going to be able to build it, he was doing his best to get it ready for his son to build it. It says that David conquered Aram, which is what the Gemara calls Kibush Yachid. Kibush Yachid, David HaMelech expanded the borders of Eretz Yisrael before finishing conquering within, or maybe it wasn't Bishvil Kal Yisrael, discussion in Gittin Adav Chesem and Aleph, and all the other wars that he did and went through, and all of the other spoils that he received, he was makdish. Right? The Gemara discusses that even though he wasn't going to be able to finish the job, he did what he knew was right, even though he wasn't going to be able to finish it. Like David, like Moshe Rabbeinu did with the Ari Miklat, he set aside what he could. Here too, HaDavid fights with all these people in order to help get spoils for the Beis HaMikdash. The parak ends off with David's cabinet, Yoav Ben Tsruya, Yehoshaphat was the Mazkir, either means the secretary, or Sefer HaZachronos. We have Tzadok and Achimelech with the Kohanim, Binayahu, and that is, David is now set up. He's not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, but his son is going to be. Parak Tes, one final point related. David, now that he's a king, he says, well, let me try to fulfill my promise to Yehonasan, and even to Shaul, that I will take care of their descendants. Is there anybody left? He sends to the house of Shaul. There was one Eved, Siva, who sends back to David, yeah, there's a little lame, handicapped boy to Yehonasan. Doesn't even say his name. Siva likes to hold himself above, and the king says, bring him to me. They bring him to him, and his name is Mephibosheth. He is lame, as we saw earlier, because running away, his wet nurse fell with him. But David HaMelech takes him because he wants to, keep his promise that he was going to take care of the descendants of David and of Shaul and Yehonasan. The Gemara even says that Mephibosheth was an unbelievable Talmid Chacham, that he was a Rebbe to David. He came and he bowed down to David because of Hishtachavoya LaMelech. But David says, please stand up. He says, don't be scared. Even though maybe Boshes maybe thought he was going to take more revenge on him. He says, no, I'm going to do chesed to you. And I'm going to give you whatever you need. You will stay in my palace the rest of your life. You'll always eat whatever you eat. And he says, Boshes says, why are you doing this? I'm just a dog. There's that Lushan again. He says, no, please, you will be with me. Tziva, you take care of him. You take care of Micha, which is the young son of Mephibosheth, Siva is put in charge. Siva is not really interested in, we'll have to see later on, that he was not loyal at all. But at least here, Siva and his family are put in charge of taking care of Mephibosheth, who is always sitting in Yerushalayim at David's table. Perek Yud, right after this, Vayacharechein, the king of Ammon dies. And Chanun, his son, takes over. David HaMelech sends to Ammon, the king of Ammon, sends to Chanun, condolences. Why does he do this? It could be that Nachash, the father, even though he had been terrible, and he had started up with Shaul in the Shmuel Aleph, but here David has a Karas HaTov for him, which did not work out. Right? Some suggest maybe this was too far. Sometimes Chesed could go too far. You have to know exactly who you're doing Chesed with. David sends messengers to be Menachem him. The Sarei B'nei Ammon say to Chanun, this is a trick. He's just sending spies. He wants to search us out. Right? They, Rashi quotes that they darshan Chumash. It says in Chumash that they're not allowed to, that they knew Chumash, that the Jews are not allowed to ask for the Shlomo B'nei Ammon. So this must be a trick. So what do? They cut off half the beards and they cut half the clothing of David's messengers, send them back, and they realize that this is going to be an act of war, so they also get ready for war, asking a lot of their partners and other nations there to help them out. David sees this. We spoke a little bit about what exactly was the why they send them out with that type of shaven half. So embarrassing. David sends them to Jericho so the beard could grow back. He doesn't say just shave off the other half because that would be even more embarrassing. But either way, the Abarbanel says that really he wasn't sure. So he's cut off half the beard. Maybe you have half good intentions and half bad intentions. Either way, that's what happened. A declaration of war. David sends Yoav and Avishai out to fight. Yoav gets chizuk to his brother in the famous pasuk, Chazek v'nes chazek b'yad ameinu v'b'yad arei elokeinu. Right, be strong. Hashem yaseh hatov beinav, and Hashem will do what is good in his eyes. Which means we have to do our ishtadlus, and Hashem will take care of the rest. So they had different strategies, and eventually they won the war. Interesting that David did not go out to battle. Right? David stayed home, which was part of the problem that's coming up. So now we have Perek Yud Aleph, which is the basis for the rest of the Sefer, David and Batshema. We spoke at length in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, a hakdama to David HaMelech, and whether it was a chait or not, and why it's formulated like that, and kol omer David chata eino ela toeh, that was all what we discussed then. Maybe he jumped the gun, maybe it was too early. Either way, David HaMelech is home, not at battle, that's part of the problem, and he's sleeping during the day, that's also part of the problem. He wakes up as it's almost nighttime, he looks out the roof, and he had already previously, the Gemara says, had a conversation with Hashem, please test me, I want to be like the Avos. You never ask for a test, right? The results will never be good, but he asked for a test, and the story of Bathsheba occurs. He sees a woman washing on the roof. Who is that? The wife of Uriah. So what does he do? He sends for her, he takes her, and he is with her. According to Chazal, she was really divorced because eventually Uriah was going to die, so retroactively gave a divorce. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, Ksubas Daf Yud, whether it was a get al tnai that the Malchebes, that the soldiers gave, or it was a get period right then. Either way, technically, it might not have been an Aveira. But on David's level, it for sure was. David sends to Yoav, send me Uriah. Uriah comes back, and David says, Uriah, take a couple of days off. You've been fighting so nicely, go off. And Uriah says, no, I'm not going back. The rest of the Jews are in the battle. I'm not leaving. That was already Moreh B'Malchus, right? If the king tells you to do something, you have to listen, no matter what your kavanas are. He tried again and again and again. And he does not listen. Another pshat, he called Yoav, my master, in David's presence. Another pshat of the Moreh B'Malchus. David HaMelech realizes that he won't be able to cover it up. So he sends Uriah back out, and he sends a message to Yoav. Put him on the front lines. That's what he did. Uriah is killed. And when David hears about it, he goes and takes Bathsheba and marries Bathsheba. Barbanel goes through Aveira, Agoreres Aveira here. Many of these were problematic behaviors with David HaMelech, at least on his level. So that is what happened. The pasuk, the parak ends with Avelus, Ashes Uriah. Bathsheba is in Avelus, but eventually becomes married to David and bears David a young child. And the parak ends off that Hashem was very upset. Parak Yud Beis. Hashem says to Nasan to tell David the mashal akivsas harash. Right, one a rich man, a poor man. The poor man has one little sheep, and the rich man eventually steals the poor man's sheep. And David stands up and says, "Oh, Yischai Misa, what a terrible thing!" And Nasan says, "Ata ha'ish, you are that you are that man. You just said ben maves hu. You said the person is chayim misa. We discussed then, is that just an exaggeration? Or is it mishpat amalchus, whatever it is? But Nathan says, you are that man. I've given you everything, Hashem says to Hashem, David, and this is what you do. I've given you so many wives. You are mevazeh, right? Because of this, you are going to have murder. You're going to have problems from within, problems from without for the rest of your malchus. Komar Hashem, there'll be ra mi beisecha from his house. Eventually, it was Avshalom. And that he will lie with your wives. You acted privately, but I'm going to punish you in public. And David says two words. Chatasi Lashem. Unlike Shaul, who gives excuses, unlike Shaul, who cannot come to terms, David says two words, and then there's a space in the Navi. As if, says the Gra, he was trying to say more, but he just couldn't come out with the words because he felt so remorseful. And Nathan says, Tshuva accepted. You will not die, but everything else in your life is still going to happen. We discussed what Avshalom didn't have bechira chafshis. Amnon didn't have bechira chafshis. What does that mean? That this was already forecast. The answer is no. It wasn't gnigzar on any specific person. Everybody had bechira chafshis, like the Rambam and Hilchos Shuva. Every mitzvah had a choice not to kill the Jews. But if you did it, so then it's is you going to be punished for it? It's the Rambam's view. So to hear, that's what the Radak says about Avshalom. So part of the punishment is that this little boy was going to die. So what happens? Nathan tells that to David and leaves. The boy gets deathly ill. David goes on the floor and starts fasting and starts davening and davening. Even though he knew that the boy was going to die, but he says, Tefillah can never stop. And that's Chizkiyo HaMelech in Brachas David. Even if the sword is on your neck, you don't stop davening. So David does this until the boy dies. Right when the boy dies, he gets up, he washes, he gets himself put together, and the avadim ask, "What are you doing? How could you do this? Avelus." So either it was before kvura, the Radak says, it was not avelus yet, or maybe he was a nefel, or we mentioned based on a Yerushalmi, he sat shiva just like Hashem sat shiva before the world was destroyed in the times of Noach, according to Yerushalmi. So too, David HaMelech somewhat sat shiva beforehand. Not al tefillah, al tshiva, but now it's finished, right? And therefore David says, when he's questioned, beforehand, that was davening. But now, what am I supposed to do? Ani olei chelav, hu lo yishuv alei, he's not coming back. We discussed the Raman, Yeredeya, how a person should never say, oh, it's the way of the world, what could I do? But if you could do something, it would change. But but we said, it doesn't mean that here, right? The Taz explains, what does David mean? It means, David is saying, well, in terms of davening, I can't daven anymore for it, because there's going to be Tchias HaMesim. And David knew that he was going to die before Tchias HaMesim anyway. In any case, David then goes and comforts his new wife, Batsheva, and is with her, and they eventually have a son named Shlomo, who Hashem loves. Shlomo also has another name given to him by Hashem, called Yedidya Ba'avur Hashem. Yedid Hashem, he is close to Hashem. And the parak ends off with the war of Ammon finishing up, Yoav letting David get the credit for the war of Ammon, and now the stage is set for the rest of the Sefer. Okay, we'll stop here. This was a review and overview of the first half of Sefer Shmuel Beis.